Every Last Piece, a Matt Murdock / Foggy Nelson fic, written by 42 Do Not Panic and read by
AU of Gold and Fantasies as Foggy Nelson,
42 Do Not Panic as Matt Murdock,
and Striped Scribe as the narrator. This fic is rated for teen and up audiences and tagged post episode, season 3, episode 13, A New Napkin, Grief / Mourning, Idiots in Love, Friendship / Love, and Depression. Summary. Post season 3, Foggy realizes Matt doesn't take his glasses off around him anymore and tries to get behind the reason for it. It took Foggy a while to notice it. It was the small details that had changed. The small habits that weren't there anymore were replaced by others. Most of the small tics and traits that he'd noticed in his roommate and partner all throughout law school, their internship, and all the time they had their own practice in one way or another, were gone entirely. On the outside, to everyone who would see him on the street, meet him in court, and even to most members of the Nelson family, he was the same man who mysteriously vanished around the time those earthquakes happened. To everyone who only saw Matthew Murdock, attorney at law, not much had changed. Matt was back to his professional uniform of suits in various shades of grey, light plain shirts and dark ties. He had his hair cut the way he used to, wore his red glasses with the round metal frame, and had his beard properly trimmed again. He was back to fighting, to his usual routine of too much work and not enough sleep. So the occasional bruise, cuts, or bloody lip were back as well, but it was easy to tell that he'd taken a step back. Foggy wasn't sure if it was because he'd finally realised that he had to work with other people if he truly wanted to protect all of his city, or if it was more to do with the fact that the injuries he had sustained under Midland Circle were taking their toll and forcing him to take more time to recover. But whichever reason was behind it, the fact that Matt had new injuries less frequently than he used to was not the main thing that was different. The first thing Foggy noticed was that Matt didn't gossip anymore, at least not in the same way he used to. He still joked, he still asked and teased Foggy about his miserable dating life, and he still bantered with Foggy and Karen, but through all of it, it wasn't the same anymore. He supposed it made sense. Even the first few times they fell apart, it took them a while to get back into the old rhythm. And this was big. It was bigger than their fights in college. It was bigger than Matt getting his heart broken by Electra. It was bigger than Foggy finding out about Matt's secret identity. It was bigger than every fallout they'd had before, because it wasn't just about them fighting. It was about Foggy thinking Matt was dead and about Matt pretending he was. It was about Matt getting injured enough that he almost lost the sense he had and could barely walk for weeks. This was bigger than anything they had been through. So Foggy wasn't surprised that it took them longer to get back to their old normal. He expected it to take a while. But over time, instead of getting back into their routine, Foggy only noticed more things that were different. After a few weeks of everything seeming to be back to their old life, even if they were building their firm back up from the ground in the tiny office above the Nelson family butcher shop. But while their lives were starting to drift back to their old course, Matt wasn't. The euphoria about finally winning over Fisk vanished quickly, and worry took its place. Grief, pain and fear were dictating Matt's life, and over time he slipped from the person he used to be back to the person he was before he came back. Matt kept his mask. He'd gotten good at that. He'd built that mask over years to keep Daredevil and Matt Murdock separate. But now he was also using it to keep the real Matt separate from Matthew Murdock, attorney at law. But in private, behind closed doors, at Josie's, after a long day in the office or even those rare times when he came back to Matt's apartment with him, he could tell how much Matt was turning in on himself. The little things, habit tricks, added up, but after a while, bigger things changed. Matt was hiding. He was hiding behind his laptop screen and his case files, behind his glasses and the cane, like he always had when he was anxious or overstimulated. But over time, he started wearing the same big coat he wore when he was still living in the church basement again. Matt started wearing hats or caps like he did during that time. And finally, he even started bringing a second set of dark tinted glasses. That pair was bigger. It covered most of his face, and with the rest of the costume, it made Mac nearly unrecognisable to everyone who only got a quick glance. It was the same clothes he had worn that night in the bar. The same disguise, the same costume. Just now, as time went on and they were getting back to their old lives, it was more like a mask than it had ever been. It was a uniform, just like Matthew Murdock's professional suits and Daredevil's costume. Through all of it, through Matt turning in on himself and hiding, both physically and emotionally, and through him pulling away from Foggy, Karen and everyone else more and more, Foggy noticed something else. Something somehow hurt more than everything else that was happening. It hurt more than Matt hiding, more than him ditching Karen and Foggy more often than not when they went to Josie's after work, and more than Matt shutting them out when he got hurt. In some weird, crooked ways, it even hurt more than Matt not telling Foggy that he was living a second life as a vigilante, or the fact he'd been alive all those months. It was something that Foggy hadn't worried about since their first semester. Something that he only fully understood once it was over. Something that only really started to hurt once he realised how much trust and vulnerability were connected to it.
Matt,
Foggy asked one night, after he's finally managed to convince the other to join him after work for one last beer. They'd been sitting at Josie's for a while. Small talk about the office had died down. Matt had that expression on his face that showed he was listening to something far out of everyone else's hearing range.
Huh?
Matt shook his head a little, focusing back on the world immediately around him.
Are you okay?
Foggy asked hesitantly. Matt frowned, even if it was hard to fully see it behind the big black glasses.
What do you mean?
He chuckled, trying to seem more relaxed than he actually was, but not falling Foggy.
I'm not going to run into any exploding buildings anytime soon, if that's what you're worried about.
You're hiding.
Foggy decided just to go in head first.
You're hiding from me and the world.
I'm right here, Foggy.
Matt sighed.
I know I've been slacking a bit recently, but I'm here. I'm back in the office, I'm doing client work again, and taking on cases, and I'm back. I'm really back.
You're not, though.
Foggy sighed. He stared at his bottle for a second, then sighed again before studying Matt for a moment.
You're not the same. And I know you've been through something insane. You don't just come back from this the way you went into it. That's not what I mean. You're hiding. You're hiding behind work. You're hiding in your apartment.
Foggy sighed again.
You're hiding in that stupid coat and behind those giant glasses.
Matt started fidgeting with his bottle, then emptied it in one long swig and got up.
You want another one?
It was a clear attempt at a distraction, but Foggy decided to let him get away with it for the moment.
Sure.
He emptied his bottle and tapped it against Matt's hand, as it had become a habit over the years.
You don't take them off anymore.
Foggy said it instead of saying thank you when Matt came back down with two fresh bottles a moment later.
What?
Matt frowned.
Your glasses.
Foggy clarified.
You don't take them off anymore. The red ones that you wear when you have to be professional. It's like they're glued to your nose. And those?
He gestured towards Matt's face with the bottle.
You put them on as soon as the last client leaves the office. And I'm not even sure you take them off at all until you come back into the office. Because I haven't seen you without them once since we moved into our new offices.
Matt didn't answer verbally, but he nodded. His head pointing down and both hands fidgeting with the bottle on the table again.
So I'm asking you again, Matt, are you okay?
Foggy reached out one hand to carefully touch Matt's hand.
I'm not mad at you. You're still my best friend. Nothing will ever change that.
Matt scoffed quietly, but there was no heat to it. It was more because he couldn't believe what his friend was saying.
Please, Matt. Please talk to me.
Foggy pleaded, carefully pulling Matt's hand away from the bottle to take it on his own.
Did I do something? Did I say something wrong?
He sighed.
I know it took you almost a full semester to trust me enough to be comfortable taking your glasses off for more than sleeping. I know they are more than just a way to make everyone else more comfortable. So, if it's anything I did, or if there is anything I can do to make you more comfortable again, please tell me. Please, just talk to me again.
It's not you.
Matt said it simply, pulling his hand back and taking a long swig of his beer, trying but failing to finish the bottle, probably so he could flee.
Then what is it?
Foggy tilted his head, worriedly studying him again.
Why are you pulling away? Why are you hiding from me again?
It's not you.
Matt repeated, taking another long swig and wincing at the taste of it.
Hey, let's slow down, okay?
Foggy wanted to rest his hands on Matt's again, but stopped himself before they actually made contact.
You're only going to make yourself throw up and be miserable if you keep going like this.
He took a sip of his own beer, watching Matt bite his lip, opening up a small cut again.
You want to go home? Then let's do that. But just leave the beer.
Matt closed his eyes. Foggy knew he did, even if he couldn't see it behind the big black glasses that hid even more of his face than the red ones. He knew it because he knew Matt, and he could read him even without seeing all of his face, even after all those months since Matt died without really being dead. For a moment, Matt just sat at the table in their bar, and for a moment, it felt like it used to. But Matt opened his eyes again, and he nodded, and Foggy could tell he wasn't the same man anymore. He wasn't the young man Foggy'd hopelessly fallen in love with all those years ago when he stumbled into their dorm room. He wasn't the ambitious lawyer who wanted to do more than work for a big firm and defend rich assholes the rest of his life anymore. He wasn't the same man Foggy knew, and he wasn't the same man who'd gone into the cavern under Midland Circle anymore. Matt had changed. Foggy knew this, but only then, right there in the bar, did he realise just how much he'd changed since he dug his way out of that hole. Maybe even since he made the decision to stay with Electra and fight for her.
It's not me,
Foggy realised.
It's you.
Matt swallowed hard and took a shaky breath, clearly trying to center himself. It didn't work. He got up, threw on his coat, picked up his bag and unfolded his cane.
I have to go.
Let me come with you,
Foggy pleaded.
I want to get to know you again.
He didn't stop Matt. Foggy didn't step in his way. He didn't grab his wrist or try to pull him back. He didn't want to force this. He didn't have the energy to fight with him anymore. But Matt stopped. He sighed again, and he also turned around and nodded.
Okay.
He said it almost defeated.
Okay, you can with me, but I don't know if I can explain it to you.
I don't know if I can understand it. I don't know if anyone can. But I want to try.
Foggy took a step closer.
Matt, we used to tell each other everything. I want to get there again.
You know that's not true, Foggy.
Matt's jaw was working with tension and he was holding his cane like a shield between himself and the world.
You know it's not.
Foggy nodded, taking his jacket and briefcase.
For me it was.
He said simply, finally and carefully, resting his hand on Matt's arm.
Let's go home.
Matt nodded again, and he didn't shake Foggy's hand off this time, but he stiffened under his touch, making his friend pull back anyway. They didn't talk on the way to Matt's apartment, while they put their coats and bags down and until they both sat on the couch with a new bottle of beer from Matt's fridge.
I gave up the devil,
Matt finally said, when they both already finished half their bottles without saying another word.
After Electra died and I told Karen, I gave up on it. I really gave up on Daredevil. I never wanted to wear that mask again.
Really?
Foggy asked before he could stop himself.
I mean, yeah, you said that and I believe you, but...
I did.
Matt nodded and took a long sip.
I really did. I never wanted to be the devil again.
He took a deep breath before he continued.
When I met Jazz, Danny and Luke, I tried. I really tried not to get dragged back into it.
He fidgeted with his bottle, then emptied it in a long drag and got up to his liquor cabinet to get something stronger.
You have to believe me that if there had been any chance at all not to put that mask on again, I would have taken it without hesitation.
I do, Matt.
He assured his friend as he sat down opposite him on the couch again.
And you know that I wouldn't have brought you that suit if I thought there had been any other way either.
Matt nodded.
Then, down there, I gave up on life altogether. For a moment, everything was okay. It was just me and her, and everything was okay.
He took a long sip of the whiskey he had poured himself.
I was ready to die.
He didn't say anything else for a moment, so Foggy completed the train of thought.
And then you didn't.
And then I didn't.
Matt repeated it. He finished his glass and poured a new one. Foggy wanted to stop him, but he decided to let Matt have this, if at least it got him to talk.
I had a lot of time to think, you know? I was locked in my mind. I could barely hear from one ear. All I could taste or smell was ash and dust and my own blood. My senses were basically useless. And for a long time, I couldn't walk or do much else either. So everything that was left was to think about everything that had happened. The pain and frustration that I have brought you and Karen and everything else. That time, I was ready to give another part of me up. I was ready to give up on the part of me that was only hurting people by choosing to be Daredevil. So, if there was no more Matt Murdock, then the devil can't hurt anyone.
Foggy sighed, but didn't interrupt him.
I know that's not true now. I know that I hurt you more than I ever have before by not telling you, by not coming back.
He swirled the drink in his glass, closing his eyes behind his big black glasses and listened to the city around them.
Somewhere along the way, I lost myself, Foggy.
Matt finally admitted it.
I'm not myself without the devil, and the devil isn't me without Matt Murdock. And I'm not dead, Foggy. But I'm not alive either. I'm lost, and I don't know how to find my way back.
For a moment, Foggy didn't know what to say, so he just studied Matt and let the words sink in, begging his mind or soul or anyone out there to tell him what the hell he was supposed to do. But after a moment, when neither rationality nor some kind of external force told him what to do, Foggy let his instincts take over. And Foggy's instincts told him to get closer to Matt. Admittedly, that's what they always told him, but this time he thought it might actually be a helpful suggestion. So he actually did it.
May I?
Foggy asked, slowly gesturing in the general direction of Matt's face. When Matt nodded, Foggy moved forwards, carefully shifting on the couch until his knees touched Matt's leg and he could easily reach over to take off his glasses.
You look tired,
he noticed.
I haven't seen you without your glasses in a long while.
Matt just nodded.
You're still just as pretty as the first time.
He offered him, almost already cursing his own instincts for going in the wrong direction, when Matt closed his eyes and relaxed ever so slightly.
I never stopped loving you, you know.
Foggy heard his own voice tell Matt, but he only realised it when the other already opened his eyes, staring sightless through him and taking him in his own ways at the same time.
I don't know who I am, Foggy.
Matt muttered, barely loud enough for Foggy to even make out.
How do you love someone who doesn't even really exist?
I don't know,
Foggy admitted.
But I do. I love you. I never stopped. Not when I found out you're Daredevil. Not when we ended Nelson and Murdock. Not when I thought you were dead. I just kept loving you. Even when I hated you. Even when I really, really wanted to hate you. I just kept loving you.
He put the glasses down between them and carefully cupped Matt's face.
I never stopped and I won't stop now. I don't know where you are, but I won't stop loving you until we found every last piece of you.
He carefully brushed a kiss on Matt's forehead.
I promise I won't stop loving you.